Shalom. The first lesson is found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You may be seated. You may also be wondering, what kind of sermon is going to be coming out of that gospel passage? Oh, just you wait. Good morning, I'm Pastor Jeff, and it is a joy and a privilege to be with you in God's house this morning. And I know that. Last time I was up here, the running joke was, Mike? Yeah, my mic's on. Oh no, Mike's here. What I wanted to do is I wanted to pray for our time and pray for Mike as he shares with our kids and with each and every one of us. So if you would, please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for a chance to be in your house. Lord, we pray for your people, each and every one of us. And in particular this morning, we pray for your kids. We pray for our kids. We lift them into your hands. And we thank you for the way in which you have called people like Mike and others to invest in their lives. We pray these things in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Now let's give our attention to Mike.
Question. How does somebody I know what country they belong to? Is it by the way they dress or the way they look or maybe the way they talk? No, it's by this. Do you know what this is? It's a passport. A passport is very important. A passport says that you belong to a certain country. It identifies you as a citizen of that country. Now let's talk about identity for a minute. Oh, let me show you. Here's my passport. See my picture? It's a Pixar picture of me, but I like it better than my real passport photo. So identity. Identity means who you are. Some people identify as a mom or a dad or an uncle or an aunt or a child, a son or a daughter. A police officer, a doctor, they identify as those things. But as a child of God, we identify as Jesus died for our sins and he loves us very much. Now in our gospel reading in Luke 6, Jesus called his first disciples and he said, you are no longer just a fisherman or just a tax collector or just a dad. You now belong to me. And that's the same for us. They became citizens of heaven. That's how they were identified then. They were no longer identified by who they thought they were. They were identified by Jesus. But a lot of times, we don't base our identity that we don't feel like a child of God because of the mistakes we make, right? And we may not feel like we're loved by God, but that is not true. Because our security, our significance, and our self-worth do not come from our mistakes or what people think about us. They come from what Jesus did for us. And what did Jesus do for us? No. He died on the cross for our sins, right? And so now we are citizens of heaven. Isn't that amazing? All right, so we're going to say a prayer, and then after you have children's church, Mr. Lynn's going to help you, and you're going to get your own passport that says you're a citizen of heaven. But your picture will look better than mine. All right, let's pray, okay? Let's fold our hands, close our eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you died on the cross for our sins, and we are now your disciples, and we are no longer defined by our mistakes or what people think about us or even our accomplishments. We are defined by you, Jesus. And we thank you, God, that when you look down on us, you don't see our failures. You see your son, Jesus, in our hearts. And you are very pleased with us because of that. And we are your children, and we are citizens of heaven. And all God's kids said, amen. Amen. Let's go. Let's go to children's church. Go.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. As I mentioned, Pastor Jeff, and as usual, it's a joy and a privilege to be in God's house with each and every one of you as we give God praise and glory. I wanted to explain something because I've had lots of people ask, what is this little thingy that I wear on a Sunday morning? No, it is not a leash. Some people have tried to like drag me around. No. What this is 30 years ago when I got into ministry, it's actually Pastor Jeff Nellermo gifted me with this very thing as it was gifted to him at a youth ministry camp in Minnesota. But it was rock climbing. It was an activity that they were doing at the camp for students, and it was given to him as a reminder of who we should be clipped into in our lives. When you are rock climbing, you're clipped in and then you are safe. You're ready for an adventure. You're ready to climb. You're ready to go. So it's this reminder that I'm clipped into God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that is a good reminder this morning as we continue in our series of making disciples. All summer long, we've been unpacking our mission statement as a church, Good Shepherd, being called to love God, love others, and make disciples. In the month of June, we looked at loving God. And it was absolutely fantastic. Now, it's a little disclaimer. It's not that we were only loving God during the month of June. We were talking and getting into God's Word in terms of what it looks like to love God. And let it be a reminder that it begins with God loving us. We love because He first loved us. And then in July, we started looking at what it looks like to love others. In the security and the good news of a relationship with God who sent His Son Jesus into the world to draw us into right relationship with Himself. So we walk in that relationship with Jesus. The invitation is to love others because God's desire is to draw all of humanity into right relationship with Him. And now we're looking at making disciples. We're going to, week two of four, of making disciples. Pastor Rick's got us started on the absolute right foot by reminding us that if we want to make disciples, we have to be disciples. If we want to make disciples, we must first be a disciple. And that's going to be unpacked a little bit more because today we're looking at making disciples through relationships. We live in a world where we are more connected than we have ever been in all of time, in all of history. There is more potential for connection today than any other time through social media, through the internet, through this technology that has made a very big world feel very small on occasion. I still remember as a kid, if, let's say, in elementary school or junior high school, there was a birthday party or a gathering of friends on a Friday night, and I didn't get invited. It's true, it happens sometimes. To each and every one of us. We got left out because we're not involved in every single thing. But you know what? When I was a kid, if I got left out on a Friday, I didn't find out until Monday at best. Today, if you get left out, you find out instantaneously. And it's a struggle and it hurts and it's harmful and it's, I mean, we are so connected. If you look on whatever social media platform that you may have, maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's Instagram, maybe it's TikTok. That's still a thing, right? Yeah, TikTok. I'm not on many social media platforms. But it's friends or followers or subscribers, different people digitally that you're connected with. I, a long time ago, made a decision that with Facebook and friends, I wanted it to be real, meaning I'm not connected with anybody on that platform that I don't actually know. But am I actually close friends with like 1,000 people? Probably not. Are you close and intimate and connected tightly with everybody that might follow you? Probably not. We live in a world that we have the potential for more connection, but we probably feel more isolated. Discipleship, as we're going to talk about it today, comes through relationship. When Jesus came to save the world, to change lives, to engage with His Father's creation, when Jesus came, He didn't begin with a building. He didn't begin with a program. He didn't launch a social media campaign, which, mind you, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. In fact, as a congregation, the congregation decided and made a vote and said, yes, we are investing in this building. We're caring for this building. We're doing a lighting project that's long overdue. There's nothing wrong with a building. There's nothing wrong with a program. There's nothing wrong with a social media campaign. But that's not where relationship discipleship really unfolds and takes place. And that's what I want to touch on this morning, as we saw illustrated throughout the passages that we looked at. So we're going to touch on four beautiful images that we see in terms of discipleship through our passages this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see how faith is passed through everyday relationships. Everyday relationships are an opportunity to pass faith from one to another. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, says this, "These commands, impress them upon your children." Moses was giving instruction to the people of Israel in terms of how we are to raise our families, the importance of being in God's Word. You'll notice how Moses does not simply say, "Well, you know, once a week, send your kids to the professional and have them go to Sunday school." There's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, it's really, really important to build community. Moses isn't saying, "Just invest in a program or show a video or do this or do that." Rather, Moses is giving this relational command to let it become part of our lives. He instead says, talk with them. Talk with your children. Talk with your family. Talk with those who you are in community with while you are sitting at home. Talk with them while you are walking. Talk with them before bed. Talk while getting up. In other words, let it permeate your daily life. Let what permeate your daily life? God's Word. God our Father, our relationship. May our relationship with God be so pervasive in our life that we just can't stop talking about it. Faith isn't compartmentalized. Faith isn't just isolated to these little pockets of our routines. Rather, it becomes woven into our ordinary, everyday life. Discipleship isn't another appointment in the calendar. Rather, it happens around the dinner table. Discipleship happens on car rides, while we work together, while we serve together, during our everyday conversations. Discipleship permeates our daily interactions. The most powerful lessons are often caught rather than taught. So may we put that into practice in our discipleship opportunities as we seek to be disciples and make disciples. May it become part of our everyday constant interactions. Second idea is that every generation has a responsibility to tell the next generation. And the psalmist puts it this way in such a beautiful passage: "We will not hide them. We will not hide them from the children. We will not hide them from the next generation." What is it that the psalmist is talking about? Well, he's talking about we will not conceal God's work. We will tell the next generation of his goodness, of his mighty works, the ways in which he has been at work in our lives. We see this beautiful progression in the psalm. God is at work. God is at work, and his people remember what he did. And as they remember what he did, they tell the next generation. And what happens to the next generation? Well, the next generation begins to trust God. And then they tell the next generation, and so on and so forth. It's in community, and we have a responsibility to proclaim God's goodness, mercy, and that which he has done in all of humanity to this generation and the next. Discipleship is always one generation investing in another. Let me say that again. Discipleship is always one generation investing in another. The church is strongest when grandparents know teenagers, when young adults know children, when older believers mentor younger believers. The enemy loves isolation. The enemy would love to separate and compartmentalize and isolate us. But God works through the generations. Imagine, if you would, how powerful a statement is proclaimed when the generations are speaking of God's goodness one to another. Here's a couple questions to ask ourselves today. Because as a disciple, we long to be a disciple as well. So maybe ask yourself today, who's investing in me? Who am I trusting to let them pour into me? And then who am I pouring into? Every disciple should have somebody in front of them and behind them. Every disciple should be making disciples and be discipled. I've had countless people in my life over the years who I have made myself vulnerable and willing to say, will you disciple me? Will you pour into my life? And I do that as I then, in turn, disciple someone else. It's a constant process of always having somebody who we might be willing to let pour into us as we then pour into someone else. Third idea that we see played out in Acts chapter 2, the early church made disciples through sharing life together. The early church here in Acts chapter 2 wasn't just simply attending worship together. Rather, they were devoted, committed. They were all in. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were all in. As you read that passage, notice all of the relational language that plays itself out. They ate together. We take that for granted in today's world. But at the time when Acts was written in the first century, it was a statement of commitment to another to share a meal with them. It was a statement that said, I've got your back. You and I are on the same team. We are on the same page. We are like family. But they ate together. They shared their possessions with one another. They prayed together, they worshiped together, and they served together. The relational language was powerful. The early church made disciples in this type of community. Life created opportunity for spiritual growth. Now, something else was beginning to happen as that community experienced health in God, and that is that people saw authentic Christian community, and they wanted to be a part of it. God began a work, and it says, and the Lord added to their number every day those who were being saved. Growth was the result of healthy relationships. Programs can be helpful. Transformation, however, happens when people really know each other. People grow when you notice that somebody's maybe not here this week, and you reach out and say, hey, I missed you. Can I pray for you? People grow when someone prays for them. People grow when somebody encourages them. People grow when somebody walks beside them in life. The last thing that we see played out in the Gospels, Jesus invested time in his disciples. Jesus invested time in discipleship. Luke chapter 6 very simply lays it out in terms of the calling of his apostles, the appointing of those who are the sent ones. I don't know if you picked up on it, but it said he was gathered with all of his disciples and he appointed 12 to be apostles. He was gathered with all of his followers, his disciples, those who were spending time with him. But then he really, truly invested in 12. He was intimate with three. But before all of that, Jesus spent time with his Father. It says he spent all night praying. He went up on the mountainside. In other words, he drew close to his Father and he prayed. And in that time, he appointed 12 to be his apostles, his sent ones, even Judas Iscariot. Notice the way in which this passage is filled with this relational language. Sorry, I jumped back a page. Jesus spent time with his disciples. He spent time walking with them. He spent time eating with them. He spent time teaching them. He spent time serving with them. We see that in actuality, he spent 3 years. So in other words, discipleship isn't an instantaneous process. Discipleship, especially discipleship in a relationship, requires an investment of time and relationship, time and resources. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, 3 years talking, praying, serving. Now, Jesus didn't just merely teach lessons during all that time. Rather, he shared life with them. His disciples learned by watching him love, watching him forgive, watching him pray, watching him serve, watching him trust the Father. Disciples, this is a hard thing for a pastor to say. Disciples aren't made by sermons. They are made by sharing lives. People imitate what they repeatedly see. And as his apostles spent time with Jesus and watched him and imitated him, their relationship with him became deeper. And then the invitation was for them to go and make disciples. To make disciples, we must first be disciples. So let's bring it all together. If we look at the whole picture, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, faith begins at home, our family, our community, those who we spend time with on an everyday basis. They're at the heart of what God wants to do in our lives. Family is important to our Father. Psalm 78 points out that faith is an intentional passing from one generation to another, to tell God's story, to not keep it upon our lips, but rather to proclaim it and speak it as we walk, as we interact, so that trust can be built. We see in Luke chapter 6 that Jesus modeled relational ministry by spending time, spending relationship, spending huge amount of time, 3 years walking and teaching and praying and serving. Acts chapter 2, the church continued in that model of relational ministry, that relational pattern. And guess what started to happen? Well, the church began to multiply. The church began to grow. The church began to flourish. God changed the world one relationship at a time. Here's our practical challenge. Here is where the rubber meets the road, and we can think this week. Ask yourself three simple questions. Three very simple questions. Number one, who is helping me become more like Jesus? Who am I allowing into my life to pour into me so that I might be a disciple? Who am I allowing myself to be vulnerable with and genuine with? Every disciple needs somebody to pour into them. Second question, who am I intentionally investing in? Who am I making the intentional choice to invest in, to speak to care for, to pray for? Am I investing in a child, a teenager, a new believer, a friend, a family member, a coworker? Third question you can ask yourself is, who needs an invitation into relationship? Who might God put in your path this week that you might invite into community, into a possible relationship with Jesus? Maybe it's just a simple invitation to join you for a coffee. Maybe it's the sharing of a meal. Maybe it's inviting them to allow you to pray for them. Maybe it's reading scripture together. Maybe it's serving together. Next Saturday at the food distribution, for example, to invite somebody to join you for the morning. Discipleship often begins with an invitation. Jesus' final command to his disciples, to us, go and make disciples. He never intended us to make disciples alone. He calls us into relationships where faith is lived out, shared, and multiplied. Imagine for just a moment what God could do if every member of Good Shepherd took this in serious and we intentionally invested in just one other person. We'll begin to see this multiplication factor unfold. Just imagine, because one relationship can change a life. One life, when changed, can change a family. One family transformed can change a community. One community, let's say this church community, one church community full of disciples that have been transformed by what God is doing, has done, and will continue to do, is a powerful witness of the love of Jesus into this world. May God make Good Shepherd a church where we don't just simply attend together. May God make Good Shepherd a place where we grow together, where we serve together, and where we intentionally make disciples together. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to go and make disciples. But may we be reminded how important it is for us to be disciples ourselves, that we may walk in relationship with you, that we may allow others into our lives to pray for us, to hold us accountable, to care for us. Lord, we pray that we would share life according to your will, purpose, and plan with one another. And Lord, we pray that you would lay upon our hearts who we might invite to know you. And Lord, we pray that as you make us disciples, that you would use us to make more disciples. Because your heart is for all of humanity to be brought into right relationship with you. We pray these things in your holy and mighty name, Jesus. Amen.